Mercy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We're a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Usually once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, different cultures, or the Bible. In this time of COVID-19 and alert level 3, unfortunately, we're not allowed to operate from the Mercy Spirituality Center. Neither are we allowed to work from Planet FM, from our studio. Therefore, I have invited Brother Kieran Fenn to a Zoom recording for our broadcast. Brother Kieran, a very warm welcome, and hi to my tele radio program.
Hi to my Beate.
Brother Kieran Fenn is a Champagnat brother and a Bible scholar. He is originally from Gisborne and has spent many years in adult education, teaching scripture in New Zealand and abroad. I'm happy that he comes every now and then to our muffin meetings and to our muffin talks. Thank you very much, Brother Kieran. And he always shares some of his vast knowledge on the Bible. With today's interview, we are starting our very first virtual teaching of the Mercy Spirituality Center. And we are having eight topics on the women in the Bible. All sessions are connected, but they also stand alone. Our muffin talk today and our virtual muffin meeting on Wednesday will be on the topic, the women of Genesis. Brother Kieran, when we think about the women of Genesis, the first woman who comes to our mind is certainly Eve. What do we know about Eve?
Well, we really need to recognize that there is a woman mentioned before Eve.
Who is that?
Just as woman. Because a good Bible will tell us the first creation story, that's the heading, 1:1 to chapter 2:4a. And there is a critical verse on the sixth day where God says, "Let us make humankind in our own image. Male and female, God created them. In God's own image, God created them." Maybe that's why the Jews never had images of God, because the image of God was carried in the human person. Male and female together, God created them. And I think that first creation story is called the priestly creation story. And it's a nice ordered story. And it comes out of the heart of the Babylonian exile. If God created the world with everything in its place and a place for everything, that story offers hope for exiles that one day they will return to the land that God created. But also, it's a wonderful, encouraging story of the fundamental equality of male and female. That's why it's a tragedy that that first creation story has appeared to just be under the shadow of the second creation story when we meet Eve. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So there is the first woman and there is Eve.
And the first woman and the first man are equal and image God in combination together. No inequality there. Now, when we come to the second creation story, that comes really from a time of settled storytelling. You know, you need some kind of order, social order, to tell good stories and write books. Right? Well, here we have a story that is given to the Yahwist. And that's the 10th century, the royal court of David, Solomon, whatever. And we have this story now of the creation of the world. Different order from the first story. And we have, the story starts in chapter 2, 4b following, with the creation of the Ha-Adam from the Ha-Adamah, the earth creature from the earth. Now, women scholars are pointing out that how can you actually have male if you don't have female? Because we are defined in terms of one another. So this Ha Adam from the Ha Adamah, this human from the humus, is created first. And God sees this and says it's not good for the earth creature.
So we have humus, you have human, and you have earth and humus.
Exactly, and you have human from the humus, right? So how you can't give gender until you've got gender. So to say that the man was created ahead of the woman is the way we read it because of the English translation. But the Ha Adam from the Ha Adamah is not gendered yet. And God says that this poor little earth creature is lonely. So the earth creature is given the task of looking among the animals, naming the animals. You don't name the animals unless you're superior to them. You've got some kind of authority over them. So all the animals are named. But among those, there's not a companion for the earth creature. So God takes, I don't like the translation rib either because it's too small a part. The Sumerian term T is the side, which is a lot more important than a rib. Right? So the companion is created, and after the Ha Adam is on, given a, God is an anaesthetist, puts the earth creature to sleep. I love the roles God plays through Genesis. It's fascinating. But now, then, when the woman appears, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Isha because she is taken from Ish. He gives her his own name. You can get it in English with like woman and man, man, woman. But Isha from Ish is a sharing of his own name. And that needs to be...
That's the word man also come from human.
Yes. A woman. You see, again, the same use of the word. You can get a fair bit of it in English, what's going on in the text. And then there's that delightful little line at the end, they were naked and not ashamed, at the end of that second chapter. And there's something interesting going on there too, because it's innocence. And I think so much great literature moves from innocence to experience, because one of the critical points about all of this is this is the story of humanity. Every society has its own creation stories about the origin of the earth, the origin of humanity. What's Israel's makes the thing is that creation is ascribed to the God of Israel. And that's what is so important to realize. This is the human story. Everybody is Ha Adam, everybody is Adam, everybody is Eve. Now, the story moves on into chapter 3. And you have the fascinating account of the serpent that slithers into the story. Now, it's fascinating that Eve is the only one that does any talking. And she really is a very good theologian. When the serpent says that, didn't you told not to eat fruit? And then says, but if you eat the fruit, you'll have knowledge. You'll be like gods, knowing good and evil. Honestly, Eve gets terrible press out of all of this. But she's the seeker of knowledge. I mean, had we stayed in the garden in the story, we would have been perpetually having to be good, right? I mean, where does free will come in? And we find that Eve actually does a very good thing too when she tells the serpent that We're not to eat from the fruit of the tree, nor are we to touch it. She adds that bit in. She puts a fence around the law so it won't, you know, this is something Jews really love, put a fence around the law. And then, of course, she sees, she likes, and she takes the fruit. Now, she gives some to her husband, and there's a little piece right beside that. Who was with her? I really love emphasizing that piece because he's standing there right beside her saying nothing. And, you know, he is as guilty as she is. And, you know, we really get influenced by Augustine and Milton. Augustine gives us original sin and the fall. And we actually still call it Adam's sin, not Eve's sin. Adam said, Augustine even said, if Adam hadn't eaten the fruit, well, we'd still be in the garden. But the interesting thing about this whole account is that it never comes back into the Bible, into the Old Testament. We never hear any words about fall or, you know, and the devil made me do it, any of that. And I think this is a fascinating thing about the story of Adam and Eve. And we don't get anything until the second century, a late book of Sirach, Ecclesiasticus. Ooh, and he says, from a woman was the beginning of sin, and because of her we all died. Well, that's rough. Some of this material and is Sirach, and then in the New Testament, we get in 1 Timothy, women shouldn't have any authority over men. They shouldn't be teaching in church, et cetera, et cetera, even though they're running most of the RE centers, I think, around our country. But for Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived. Oh, come on. But the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. So therefore, no authority. Now, that type of material has been very damaging. It is far from the intention and the story that we see in the book of Genesis. So male interpretation, Western interpretation, has done some terrible harm, that women have second status, equal status in the first story. Now, then we come to what happens when they have to appear before God in the garden. God has great fun walking around in the garden, strolling around, enjoying and talking to these little creatures that are there in the garden. I love that. It's quite intimate. And then we hid because we were naked. And God said, who told you? The woman you gave me. She gave me the fruit and I ate it. The woman you gave me, blame Eve. You gave me her, blame God. I mean, I think he shows himself to be a little bit of a wimp, right?
I think that we go into that further on Wednesday when we have our longer session on Genesis.
Yes.
And for those who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought up by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.blendedaudio.org/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My guest today is Brother Kieran Finn, and we are talking about the women in the Bible. Brother Kieran, Genesis 3:20 calls Eve the mother of all living. How important is motherhood in Genesis?
Oh, dear. I mean, the matriarchs, this takes us so much further. It takes us into Sarah. It takes us into Rebecca. It takes us to Rachel and Leah. And then to that wonderful figure, Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Judah. I mean, motherhood is a critical aspect, but each of those fits into a unique story pattern. So with Eve herself, of course, the name, her name means mother of all the living. And it's interesting that when they leave the garden or driven out of the garden and angels are left there with flaming swords, then Adam, now we can use the term Adam for man, for a male. He names his wife Eve, which means mother of the living. We've already looked at the significance of naming. Now, there's an ambiguity about this action of Adam naming Eve. You can kind of pick it up. Is it an act of patriarchy? Is it the first act of patriarchy that is part of original sin? And I think looking at our world and looking at thousands of years of history, it's very clear to me that the overcoming of patriarchy is something that we must do with regard to the effects of sin in the world. Now, it's also a sign of hope that she is Hawa, Eve, mother of the living, Zoe, and she gives birth. I have acquired a man, acquired. Cain means acquired. And the second son, Abel, Habel. Habel is just a word for breath because he's blown out of the story by his brother. So sadly, the first human being is a murderer. But that's into the male story. Eve lives, has other children, and eventually disappears out of the Bible, only to be brought back in very negative circumstances. So, yes, that's the motherhood that's there. Then we come to genealogies are fascinating in the Bible, and genealogies have a purpose. And we have Table of the Nations in chapter 10. And there's a couple of women mentioned too. It's fascinating that I think that there, I could count at least 11 names of women. And there might even be more. And that's a fascinating statistic in light of the fact that there are only 111 named women in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
9%. And a lot of them are in Genesis, which really makes the point that Genesis has got the majority of named women in the Bible itself. So, yes, and that, but we in the genealogy, we're told at the very end of Abraham and his wife Sarai, Abram and Sarai was barren.
Talking about Abraham, while Eve is called mother of all living, it is usually not Adam, but Abraham who is the father of the people.
Ah, we've got father of humanity in Adam, but father of the tribe. The whole thing, perspective that comes down, narrows down from the whole of humanity to a chosen race in Abraham. Or Abraham. And I think we need to realize from the creation. I like the concept of Genesis as the story of creation, de-creation with the flood and all the rest of it, and the sin stories of Genesis, and the scattering of the nations with the Tower of Babel, and then finally recreation through the person of Abraham and Sarah. So you can see that pattern.
Yep.
And what began in a garden finishes in a garden in the book of Revelation, right?
What do we know about this wife, Sarah, about Abraham's wife, Sarah? You said that she was barren. That's known. And we are going to go into depth on Wednesday in the presentation. But yeah, she is one of the key women in Genesis, isn't it?
I know. And she's capable of such great good and such great harm because Abraham, there are two women. There is Sarah or Sarai and Hagar. One mothers the child of promise. The other one also mothers a child who is given great promise. The Hagar and Sarah's stories are intertwined. Sarai, great good, great harm, and great pain. I mean, she had to uproot everything and go with Abraham on that journey, the great journey that was taken in response to the covenant. And I wonder whether she knew when Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac, that child they'd waited so long for, whether she had an intuition as to what was going on. We aren't told her story. We're just told about her being with Abraham, her being in the tent. And the thing that really I get annoyed about was that Abraham laughed at the thought, at the promise that he would have a son, because he was aged and his wife was barren. And then we have the three on their way, the three visitors on their way to destroy Sodom. And lo and behold, Sarai hears the promise that when we come back next year, she'll have had a child, and she laughs. You know what the word laughter is? Isaac. Yeah, that's right. That's how he got his name. And she gets told off. She gets told off for laughing, whereas Abraham laughed and nobody told Abraham off.
Oh, Brother Kieran, we are going to go into depth in our session on Wednesday. Thank you so much. So we've looked at Eve and we've looked at Sarah, and I think that we'll have a lot of things to share. Mm. And so thank you very much for this interview.
Good.
And to our listeners, if you would like to learn more about the women in Genesis, please check out our online session next Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m. So it'll be done via Zoom. So for more information on our virtual teaching with Brother Kieran Finn, please check out our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz or our Facebook page, and send us an email to info@mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. Please note that the Mercy Spirituality Center is still closed under level 3. Therefore, all programs at the premises of the Mercy Spirituality Center are suspended until the end of May. We will review the situation constantly and we'll let you know when we are able to take up our programs again. And the sessions with Brother Kieran Finn, if you're not familiar with Zoom, please let us know, because on Monday, the 4th of May, we will have a Zoom training session for those who need it for this communication with Brother Kieran Finn on Wednesday. So please send us an email. Let us pray for all the victims of this virus, physical, mental, emotional, and material victims. Ia kaha, and keep safe. Thank you very much, Brother Kieran.
Thank you, Marty. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.